should have bought a book about the book he put together about his wife. So you know where I feel like it's a beautiful book anyways. You're trying to put together just a real concise, big record though.
Uh-huh.
And we're just anxious to talk to people who were with Mega Diamond, who might have known, associated with him. So David said, Gary's here now. You have to talk to Gary. So. Yeah.
Okay, I'll tell you what I know.
When did you first?
Well, I actually took a class from Tracy in 1968. I took a chemistry class. That was my first year at BYU, and that was the chemistry class for chemistry majors or chemical engineering majors. It was a 5-hour class, included lab. You know, I had labs on Tuesdays and Thursdays, and he was the teacher for the year, so I had him for a whole two semesters.
Okay.
in chemistry. Yeah. It was an interesting class in a lot of respects. One of the interesting things that happened is when we found out when his invention for making diamond was, and we threw a party for him, and we were supposed to have a test that day. And we didn't have to have the test because we got him talking about the diamond and what was going on. And he took us over to his high-pressure lab, took us on a tour of the lab. And so we didn't have to have that test.
Oh, that's interesting. So that's when you found out that his diamond stuff?
Well, right. I didn't know very much about it because I was just a freshman at BYU. And several members of the class had found out about when he got the first patent, and so we threw a little party for him in the class and had a cake and stuff. And we didn't have to have a test that day. Got out of the test.
And went over to his lab.
Went over to his high-pressure lab, and he showed us all of the different experiments that he'd been working on. Had the old tetrahedral press and had the, made out of the press that was made out of a landing gear piston. I don't know where he got it from, and it was down on the ground. I don't know. It's hard to remember everything. But
yeah.
He took us on a tour of his lab and showed us everything he was doing. made for a very interesting day, and didn't have to take the test.
So I know it was a long time ago. And good or bad, I want you to say anything. Whatever the truth was, what was he like as a teacher?
Well, he was an interesting teacher. He had his strengths and weaknesses as a teacher. His strengths were obviously crystals. when we got in the section on crystals, he brought in a lot of hands-on stuff and taught us a lot about crystals. And you can tell that was more interesting to him than other things. The big thing for him was to teach us about the periodic chart and the different groups in the periodic chart, and we had to memorize all that, and that was kind of a big thing for him because how different chemicals work is based on the grouping in the charts, and so that's how he's tried to teach us chemistry, is by memorizing that periodic chart, which was interesting that he had us do that. And of course, he was in the lab all the time, and we were in the lab too. Got a little bit of acquainted with him. In fact, that's when I got acquainted was that year, 1968, 1969.
Okay.
Then I went on my mission in 69, and when I came back, that's when I started working up on BYU campus, and my bishop was Bishop Pope when I came back on the mission. Looking for another job after me and my wife got married. We were managing a motel and was looking for a second job to get enough income, and started working at Mega Diamond as a press operator. And of course, I got to see Tracy periodically in that environment as well. And I very first started with one press, and it was the old 1,200-ton press. And down by the river, it was a little building down by the river. You had to go on the dirt road. And now, of course, it's all built up, not dirt road anymore.
is that the little building?
The little building's that north ring.
I seem to call it the Roadshed, the State Roadshed or something.
No.
Wasn't that okay?
It was a brick building down. It's where Megadom is currently located.
Okay.
And it's the oldest section of that building. It's the north wing there. That's the size of the building it was when I first started working there. It was just that end of the building.
So how many employees were there when you first started?
Oh, there was a lot. There might have been 20 students. There's a lot of students. You know, it's always been a lot of students, part-time people working there. And they had, like I said, the one press, and they had two operators on each press. One was the pressure controller, and the other one was the ran the power. It was the old clay controller, and you just, you know, had a real rheostat, and you control the power that way, and make it in a resin bond diamond.
What is that? What is that word?
Resin bond diamond.
Resin bond. Okay.
Yeah, that's what they're making back then. It's resin bond diamond.
Okay. So, what did the company structure? How did it work back then?
I know
Bill and Dwayne and Tracy kind of.
That was
I'm not sure.
The old DVT company. It was
okay.
Dwayne, Bill, and Tracy.
Okay. Yeah.
And of course, Megadiamond was another. They had several different corporations. I never could keep track of it.
So was DVT first then?
Well, DVT I think owned the press or owned something.
Okay.
And Megadiamond owned the building, and you know. It was different groups. Megadiamond, I guess, was the company formed to sell the polycrystalline diamond portion
okay.
of it.
All right.
And DVT was kind of a holding company that had a lot of the equipment and stuff.
Okay.
And I was paid both by DVT and I got paid by Megadiamond. I didn't know who my boss was for a while. You know.
Okay. Who oversaw your work there? For the most part, there's someone sticking their head in more than others.
The guy's name was Howard. Howard.
Okay.
HHH was his initials.
HHH, okay.
I don't know if you were running across him.
I might have. David might have mentioned his name, too.
But also, you know, I worked with Bill and Dwayne. And Tracy, the first year or so, I maybe saw him two or three times. Not often. And after they built the next building, and Dwayne, Bill, and Tracy were supposed to have their office up front there, and you saw Tracy maybe once or twice a month is about all.
Oh, okay. So you started there in 1970 or 71? Or?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So did you stay, how long were you there?
I stayed there until 1990.
Oh, okay. So you stayed... You went through the... Go ahead. I'm not...
This is John. He's David's...
Yeah. So I wouldn't say once or twice.
That's right. I'm not very familiar. I'm sure.
Tell me who you are again.
Ron Crockett.
Okay. Good. I'm good. Thanks.
Go ahead. He's just visiting us.
He's doing a book for David on Tracy.
Those family history book, that business that you guys started doing, like a family history book.
Yeah, we're still plugging away. So.
It's fun. Yeah. So that's the only thing we got from Kodiak, just that one?
Yeah. I called Doug up and I said, Doug, you know, I need to have the weekly reports. And the way I wrote the contract, it says you'd send us weekly reports and every 4 weeks we would invoice you. Or you can just pay based on those weekly reports that you submit. And he says, oh, yeah. I said, you know, but I need the weekly report so I know what's going on. And, you know, we can have every four weeks have you pay us, but I need the weekly report. He says, well, I'll get them for you. You know, so that's just the first day. That's the first job on August 9th that they paid for. So it's really only one day.
August 9th is a Saturday. I was asking Jerry to see what day we installed the feed.
It was on August 9th.
Okay. All right.
And that was the first job.
Okay. hope they give us some more information.
Yeah, I'll say.
All right, see you.
Okay.
So what do you do now? What's your title?
I'm the general manager of the PIG project.
Okay. What's the name of it? The PIG project?
Nova PIG.
Nova PIG?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
You just came from Kennametal?
Yeah.
Is that what?
Yeah.
Where was that at?
In Fallon, Nevada. So I left, when I left Megadon in 1990, I went to Kennametal and Fallon, Nevada, and that's where I was until last year.
Okay.
Here,
okay.
To take on this job.
How's it going?
Year's gone by way too fast. We're, you can see all the various models. We've learned a lot in a year, but we still got a lot to learn still.
Okay, so you were at Mega Diamond, and I learned all this stuff from David, and, you know, sometimes, you know, if there's a better account or a more true account, we want it to be in the book, you know, because things flip people's minds. So he came from Ingersoll, came to Mega Diamond. There were a few companies at least under one roof. Just two, or were there more than that? Do you remember?
Well, there was DBT and Megadiamond, and I think there was a couple other minor companies that were in there, too. I don't know.
Okay.
It was kind of confusing.
So, he, essentially, Megadiamond was created over a couple of years.
Yeah. Like in 1975, I think is when they built the expansion. There was Megadiamond Incorporated that was going to market the diamond, and there was Megadiamond in Utah that was going to manufacture the diamond.
Okay.
And there was DBT, but like I said, it was only equipment and some of the land.
Okay.
I don't know really all those details of it, because I wasn't involved in any of it, other than I got paychecks from different entities.
Okay. All right.
But, yeah, David came to... from Ingersoll Rand. I can't remember when that really was. It was, must have been close to 78 or somewhere in that time frame, 78, 79,
okay.
If what I recall. So they started having the, what I call the Mega Diamond Wars.
Yeah, there's a lot of
that. You know, where they... And that's what was funny, because of those, the DBT had different stockholders than some of the other companies, and so they changed the president of one company, but couldn't do the different, change the president of the other company, and so there was lines down the hall, you know, type of stuff.
Yeah.
Kind of funny.
Yeah, the other disguise is he's got at least two bishops, a couple general authorities of the church.
Former temple presidents.
Temple presidents.
Yeah.
Different
people. And they were trying to figure out who to have run the company. And, you know, the popes were trying to run it for quite a while. And Duane didn't like how they were doing some of the stuff. And got David to help him, you know, usurp
okay.
the popes.
Yeah. So David came in, what was his title? I'm sorry.
He came in.
I think his dad turned the shares over to him and said, I'm done.
Yeah, you manage it.
You go do it.
And he came in as a president of one of the entities.
Okay.
That's what I kind of recall happened. So I ended up working for Dave.
Okay.
For a while.
And then he... Bill was still on the board of directors.
Yeah. Along with Duane and along with the other people that were still there.
Okay, and do you remember who was made the general manager? Or who took Bill's position? Was that position filled?
Well, Lewis was running part of the company for a while, too,
okay.
prior to Dave coming on. Lewis acted as the general manager before Dave came in and took over part of the company. And kind of in that time frame when they were selling technology to the French. I think 78 to 80, they were selling technology to the SICM, which was a French company.
Okay.
And then and I think it was 80 when Dave became the president of one of the entities.
Okay.
And finally, they convinced everybody to come over, and I guess Dave was pushing, you know, the technology for the enhanced insert for Smith, and then Smith in 82 bought Mega Diamond, and that bought out Bill, and so he was able to take his money and go start U.S. Synthetic.
Okay.
And then they actually brought in a different manager to start managing the company.
Okay, and then when did you leave?
1990.
Was oh, you left in 90.
Yeah, so I stayed there and worked for Smith from 82 until 1990.
Oh, okay.
And they had two different general managers. Well, three. I guess Dwayne was the general manager for a while with Dave as kind of the manager, and then they brought in Gene Myers. That was the general manager, and after Gene Myers, it was what was his name? Wally Harkness.
Okay.
And that's why I left, because of Wally.
Okay. well, that's pretty good. Let's see. So, so I guess it's pretty clear that a lot of those guys in those initial tussles or whatever you want to call it about who owned the business and who didn't.
Who should run it.
Yeah. Seems like a lot of everybody turned out pretty good.
Well, everybody ended up fine. I mean, you look at U.S. Synthetic, they did really well, and Dwayne was happy with what he got, I think. And, of course, Dave's got Novatec. So they all really survived when you look at the companies and the amount of money that Mega Diamond's making and the amount of money that U.S. Synthetic's making and the amount of money David's making. It's probably more than have they stayed together. Because they pursued different avenues, you know.
Different avenues. Yeah. Same industry, different avenues, though.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, all right. Are there, this book is essentially about the beginnings of Novatec, too. I'm talking a lot about the industry, and so that's why I ask you all this stuff, and even outside of Tracy. Is there anything you need to add about Tracy? Did you have any other
I never had any interactions that were bad. It was always a good interaction. He was always easy to talk to and visit with. You know, like I said, I was a student, got good grades from him, so I was happy.
There you go.
You know, freshman chemistry, that first year is kind of a hard year, but it was a good year. I enjoyed those classes. Mm-hmm. And had a lot of fun. Those afternoon labs, they were, you know, 3-hour labs on Tuesdays and Thursdays there.
Oh.
Sometimes it was 4 or 5 hours.
You're getting done, huh?
Yeah.
Okay.
But he was always approachable, easy to talk to, easy to, you know, get information from him.
Okay. Well, what was your position at Mega Diamond before you left?
When I left, I was the manufacturing manager.
Okay.
For all of Mega Diamond's products. Oh. For a while, I was a product manager for the grip product lines. And so I developed metal bond, you know, resin bond they were doing when I started working there. I developed metal bond diamond for them and sold that for years.
Okay.
And then when I left, I was managing all the production areas, all the manufacturing areas.
Okay.
Did the polycrystalline diamond. We had four presses when I left. And I worked with Jim Hone to get approval from Smith right before I left to build their P4 press, which is what they're still running.
Oh, okay.
woman in mind and design. I designed the cell for that. So I learned on the little press and went to the R1 press, and then I developed the M2 press and then the M3 press and then the P4.
Oh, okay.
So I did a lot of the engineering with him, working with Dave and working with Dwayne and other people.
Okay. All right, is there a resource for those presses, or can you just look at the development real quick or anything like that?
I don't know where. Okay. It would be, when I left Megan, I left a lot of stuff there. But
okay, yeah.
Couldn't take any of it with me.
Okay, so while you were at Mega Diamond, under Bill or Dwayne or Tracy's watch, and then eventually David's, you were running a press.
Started as a press operator.
Okay.
And then
and you're developing.
I ran a press operator, and then when I graduated in 1975, they offered me a job full time, and I was actually already supervising the lapping department at that time.
Okay.
So the diamond finishing for Mega Diamond, I developed all the processes for that in 1973 to 1975. All that development work. Then I developed the metal bond product line in 1975 to 1977. Took the resin bond product line. I estimated we had about 50% of the market share on resin bond.
Uh-huh.
And then we had maybe 20% on metal bond before it started declining. And what happened was that the prices of diamond, when I started working on Mega Diamonds, like $2.25 for resin bond to maybe $2.50. And when I left Mega Diamond, the price of resin bond had dropped down to 35 cents a carat.
And what was
GE did not want to give up market share.
Okay.
GE and De Beers did not want to give up market share. And so we just drove the prices down. As we started to gain market share, they would drop their prices. And we'd gain a little more, and they'd drop it a little more. And, it was kind of the diamond wars. We did Resbon Diamond, and like I said, we got up to maybe 70% of that market for a little while. And then we did metal bond and got up to 20-25% of metal bond market before they wouldn't let us have any more and drove the prices down. And that's really what drove Mega Diamond to get in the polycrystalline diamond business harder and made it possible for when David came on, the enhanced insert for the oil business. And so there was really a decision made in that 78 to 80 time frame that, hey, we're not going to stay in business if we try to sell grit, because every time we compete with GE and De Beers, they just drop the prices.
Okay.
And so the decision was made that we had to go after polycrystalline diamond hard, and the enhanced insert was the development.
So is this a PCD?
Yeah, that's polycrystalline diamond.
Okay.
But the enhanced insert was the roller for the roller cone bits, the oil bits. Some samples out front here.
Okay.
And that development work from 78 to 80 to 81 is what allowed Mega Diamond to sell themselves to Smith. And so that decision to get out of the grit business, forced the development on the polycrystalline diamond and to make the shape parts, which was new and unique.
Okay. So what did PCD, what was the field that PCDs were mostly useful for right at the beginning? Was it drilling? Just like
no, they initially Mega Diamond, that was the New York corporation.
Okay.
That was formed to sell the polycrystalline diamond. Initially they tried to go after the tooling market, non-ferrous tooling machining. And so they made little rounds, little triangles, positive and negative tooling that we actually made to machine, like aluminum or copper or other parts like that. And so that's what they initially focused on, was tooling for those non-ferrous machining.
Okay.
And then they went to the oil industry, went after the oil industry in a big way. Mega Diamond still sells tooling for the non-ferrous markets, but oil by far is the biggest market for the crystalline diamond.
Okay.
That's why we're looking at, you know, selling it into asphalt mining now. Try to figure out how to get it to work better.
Okay. So what was Mega Diamond ever competing with U.S. Synthetic then? Or what was
well, that? When U.S. Synthetic spun off in 82, they started First and Grit, too. And so that was the other thing that was driving the market down, is they tried to sell Grit. Everybody was copying GE's, and the world was copying GE's high-pressure technology that Tracy had developed, the belt press.
So is GE still using?
Belt presses? Oh, yeah, they still use them today. And so all the nations of the world, like Germany and France and China and India and Russia, and everybody, the first thing that they started making was grit, diamond grit, which was resin on.
Okay.
And so everybody in the world is trying to make it because they consider diamond a strategic material. And so that contributed to the decline of those prices as well. As more and more people got involved in making diamond, prices just dropped.
So, where did U.S. So did U.S. Synthetic essentially evolve like Mega did when they decided to do it?
They spun off and they built a designed a press. Lewis and his dad designed a press and built one or two of them and started making diamond grit. And trying to make polycrystalline diamond and tried to make a business. And they ended up selling some presses just the same way Tracy's used to sell presses to get money. And they kept developing different stuff and trying to, you know, get in the marketplace. And so, for a while they tried to compete directly with Mega Diamond on the tooling product line. I don't think they did very well there. You know, it was really the oil. They linked up with a couple of companies in the oil patches and developed custom polycrystalline diamond parts for them. And that's what made them grow.
So this is the PCD. Okay. Okay. Well, I sure appreciate it.
Yeah, anytime. Fair question.
You know, if I come up with anything else and feel like I need to another perspective, I'll holler at you. So.
Sure, anytime.